of radio, which is as diverse as the planet itself. So exciting. So yeah, episode 192 was all about saving radio history. And then prior to that, we spoke with one of the people who run a low power FM radio station, and we talked a lot about how they approach their producing their 1 hour of hyper local daily news for that low power radio station that's extremely volunteer run.
Murder at midnight, when the graves gape open and death strikes.
The aliens, they're coming.
I am Ilaya.
I am Serena.
And I'm Edward. You're listening to WDXC
90.7 FM.
Acre, Catskill, Hudson. Yay!
Yes!
Common Ground is a private, not-for-profit organization offering dispute resolution services to the people in Columbia and Greene counties. Common Ground provides trained mediators who work to resolve the differences between two or more participants on issues including family, housing, business, workplace, school, and neighborhood disputes. The mediation process is informal, private, confidential, and voluntary. For more information, please contact Common Ground at 518-943-0523 or on our website www.commongroundinc.org.
Find out where the music takes Asteroid Anxiety on the next Deep Threes, when the producer discovers the tranquility of a dwarf planet, plus sounds from Umber, Matoma, Yujiwang, and Ramin Djawadi. Deep Threes, music beyond boundaries for a digital world.
Tune in to Deep Threes after the noon news on Monday at WGXC 90.7 FM.
WGXC underwriting support is provided by the First Presbyterian Church of Hudson, a faith community open to all. Whether you are single, married, divorced, gay, wealthy, poor, or no habla inglés, if you are just browsing, just woke up, or just got out of jail, it doesn't matter if you work on Wall Street or if you sleep on Wall Street, you belong. We love soccer moms, crying babies, vegans, hipsters, seekers and doubters, tourists and locals. All are welcome. Services held Sunday mornings at 10:45 a.m. You can find us on the web at firstpreshudson.org.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Philip Grant of Nassau, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
You are listening to Transmission Arts Programming on WGXC 90.7 FM. Grabbable, handleable, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC News Update. I'm Philip Grant. Ted Bremsnyder reports for Columbia Greene Media that on January 25th, Greene County announced another COVID-19 death, an unidentified inmate at Greene Correctional Facility in Coxsackie. The prison currently has the highest number of positive cases in the state incarceration system, though this is the first coronavirus death there. The Coxsackie Correctional Facility has had 4 confirmed COVID-19 deaths. Currently, there are 85 active cases with the Greene Correctional Facility and 19 active COVID cases in the Coxsackie Correctional Facility. Jose Saldana, director of the Release Aging People in Prison campaign, continued to call for clemency and early releases for many prisoners in the face of the deadly pandemic. Saldana said in a statement, and I quote, "Two different families across the state are receiving the terrible news that their loved ones died cold and alone in the dungeons of mass incarceration for no reason other than a lack of political will on the part of our elected officials," end quote. He went on to say, and I quote, "Their pain is unimaginable. People were dying in New York State prisons every 3 days before the pandemic. So it's important to recognize that these COVID deaths are happening on top of a crisis that's been with us for more than a decade. We call on Governor Hochul to use her clemency pen to save lives. We also call on New York's legislative leaders, Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins and Speaker Carl Heste, to pass the Elder Parole and Fair and Timely Parole bills to provide meaningful pathways to release consideration for incarcerated New Yorkers, and to do it quickly, before more lives are extinguished by their inaction," end quote. Only 53.2% of prisoners in state prisons have been partially vaccinated, according to the New York State Department of Corrections and Community Supervision. Albany County, meanwhile, reported January 27th that a man in his 80s died from coronavirus, the 500th Albany County death. Albany County Executive Dan McCoy said, and I quote, "It saddens me to report another Albany County resident losing their life to COVID-19. This is the 500th death in the county since the pandemic started, and it unfortunately won't be the last. While we see progress in our fight in some areas, we need to continue doing what we can to protect our most vulnerable from the virus, which is still spreading," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. Nick Reisman reports for New York State of Politics. that Democrats controlling New York's legislature plan to vote on new redistricting maps this coming week. New York's Redistricting Commission of Democrats, New York's Redistricting Commission of Democrats and Republicans failed to reach a bipartisan agreement on district boundaries for the state Senate, Assembly, and U.S. House of Representatives. Senate Majority Leader Andrea Stewart-Cousins and Assembly Speaker Carl Hestey released a statement together on January 26, and I quote, "The statutory deadline for the Independent Redistricting Commission to submit congressional and state legislative maps has passed. As per the New York State Constitution, it becomes the legislature's responsibility to consider fair maps and ensure all New Yorkers have equitable representation in their government. That is a duty we take seriously. Given the expedited nature of the political calendar, we fully expect the Senate and the Assembly to consider new fair maps in a timely manner. The plan is to vote on these maps next week," end quote. Democrats are deciding because they hold the majority in the state legislature. The Election Commission was set up so legislators would not be drawing their own district lines, but obviously failed to do that. Locally, candidates such as Dutchess County Executive Mark Molinaro have already announced an effort to unseat Representative Antonio Delgado, but neither of them know what district exactly they are running to represent until the lines are drawn. You can read more about this story at New York State of Politics. Shannon Cohn reports for the Times Union that Rensselaer County native Edmonia Lewis is being honored with her face on a U.S. Postal Service stamp with a ceremony January 26th at the Smithsonian American Art Museum. According to the story, Lewis was, and I quote, "the first Black and Native American sculptor to earn international recognition," end quote. Karen Lemmy, the Lucy S. Rahm Curator of Sculpture at the museum, said, and I quote, "Lewis's achievements cannot possibly fit on a postage stamp, but I think it's so fitting to honor her legacy this way. It is collectible, and some may wish to collect and preserve it just as we do our sculptures here. But I think Lewis would be equally pleased to know these stamps will be zipping around the country just like she did," end quote. Lewis was born in 1844 and died in 1907, and spent much of her life in Rome making neoclassical style sculptures incorporating themes related to Black people and indigenous peoples of the Americas, according to Wikipedia. At a ceremony this week, the Smithsonian unveiled The Death of Cleopatra, one of Lewis's most well-known works, which had been lost since the 1980s. Marilyn Richardson, an art consultant and the person who found the work in an abandoned storeroom at a suburban Chicago shopping mall roughly three decades ago, said, and I quote, "It was so thoroughly lost that I, along with most people who were all interested in finding out about it, feared, for good reason, that it had been destroyed. It was just an extraordinary thing to find it not only intact, but intact and in such condition that it could be beautifully, beautifully restored," end quote. Read more about this story in the Times Union. And that wraps up the WGXE News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, community information, or COVID-19 updates, visit our website at WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Peace Now in Ukraine. I'm Mimi Goodman, host of Democracy Now! With Dennis Moynihan in our weekly Breaking the Sound Barrier podcast. Is a Russian invasion of Ukraine imminent? At the heart of this avoidable catastrophe is Moscow's concern over the ever-increasing U.S. military threat on its doorstep. Since the Soviet Union fell, the United States, through its NATO allies, has pushed troops and arms closer to Russia, despite the not-one-inch eastward promise made by U.S. Secretary of State James Baker to Soviet leader Mikhail Gorbachev in 1990. Now, close to 100,000 Russian troops are amassed on the Ukrainian border. The Ukrainian military is on high alert. Adding fuel to the fire, President Biden ordered 8,500 U.S. troops on high alert and is pouring weapons into Ukraine. Katrina Vandenhoevel, who's reported on Russia for decades, explained on the Democracy Now! NewsHour.
You know, Russia, the Soviet Union, lost 27 million people in World War II. There is a real continuing fear, even in younger generations, about being encircled. And, you know, we had our Monroe Doctrine. We had our spheres of influence. What if Mexico, what if Soviet troops had Russian troops suddenly decided to alight in Mexico? Borders matter, especially in the Russian historical consciousness.
Pope Francis said on Wednesday, "Today I especially ask you to join in praying for peace in Ukraine." Invoking Ukraine's 20th century history, he continued, "More than 5 million people were annihilated during the time of the last war. They're a suffering people. They've suffered starvation, they've suffered so much cruelty, and they deserve peace. Please, war never again," the Pope said. About 30% of Ukraine's 50 million citizens are native Russian speakers, most in the southeast region of Donbas, bordering Russia and on the Crimean Peninsula. Russia militarily annexed Crimea in 2014 as Euromaidan protesters in Kiev's main square and in other cities demanded closer ties to the European Union. The national debate on whether to align with East or West erupted into a military conflict with close to 14,000 people killed, 1.5 million displaced, and two regions within the Donbas, Donetsk and Luhansk, declaring independence from Ukraine and allying with Russia. Anatole Levin, a senior fellow at the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, offered his analysis on Democracy Now!
The crisis has grown to this point because of Russia's deep unhappiness with the expansion of NATO to its borders and the threat of NATO admitting Ukraine, which Russia regards in much the same light that America regards the appearance of hostile military alliances in Central America.
President Kennedy's confrontation with the Soviet Union during the 1962 Cuban Missile Crisis is considered the closest we've ever come to all-out nuclear war. Kennedy acted much like Putin is now, engaging in military brinksmanship to deter the deployment of foreign weapons and troops along a national border. In addition to the mobilization of U.S. troops, the U.S. and NATO allies are shipping weapons to Ukraine. William Hartung, also with the Quincy Institute, has long followed the unchecked growth of Pentagon spending and the weapons manufacturers that profit from war.
The U.S. has sent $2.7 billion in military aid and training to Ukraine since 2014. President Biden's talking about a couple hundred million more, and more no doubt will follow.
The United States, the biggest spender in NATO, has forced the 2% defense investment guideline on NATO's 29 other member nations, pressuring European countries to increase military spending. As NATO states on its website, in 2014, three allies spent 2% of GDP or more on defense. This went up to 11 allies in 2020, and a majority of allies have national plans in place to meet this target by 2024, the website says. Hartung adds,
"I think the tensions that are related to all this, I think, augur for their ability to keep military spending and military procurement high."
Thich Nhat Hanh is one peace activist whose voice will be missing throughout this crisis. The legendary Buddhist monk and spiritual leader died in his native Vietnam last week at the age of 95. Considered the founder of the Engage Buddhism movement, Thich Nhat Hanh was exiled from Vietnam in 1966 for opposing the war. In his 1967 book, Vietnam, Lotus in a Sea of Fire, he explained how the movement of young Buddhists was pushing their less engaged elders. He wrote, "In a river current, it is not the water in front that pulls the river along, but the water in the rear that acts as the driving force pushing the water in front forward," he said. The U.S. media provides a parade of pro-war politicians and pundits from both the Democratic and Republican parties, while progressive peace advocates are almost entirely shut out. Progressive Congress members Pramila Jayapal and Barbara Lee warned the Biden administration on Wednesday, quote, there is no military solution, unquote, to the crisis. Grassroots movements must demand peace and diplomacy now before the outbreak of war. I'm Amy Goodman with Dennis Moynihan.
For the Daily Yonder and Public News Service, this is the news from rural America. The post office is busy shipping free at-home COVID-19 tests, taxpayer-funded, of course.
It's a way the federal government is able to actually contact everyone in this country, really, so that it speaks to the value of the postal service.
Christopher Shaw, U.S. postal historian, says people without mail delivery to their homes can get mail from postal boxes or even general delivery for free. An additional issue, access to a good internet connection to order the free tests.
And if you're in a rural place where you don't really have access to the internet, then how are you going to use the website to order in the first place?
The National Farmers Union is gathering real-life stories from struggling farm families facing a historical challenge of a different sort, monopolies. Today, four massive corporations control over 75% of the global grain trade. Sandra Brown has more.
The five-month-old nationwide Fairness for Farmers campaign is highlighting the harm heaped on farmers from corporate consolidation, forcing down prices paid to farmers, ranchers, and fishers.
One of the challenges we have stem from lack of competition, fewer choices, and abuse of market power by corporate monopolies.
Mike Strands with the National Farmers Union. The union hopes a collection of personal stories will help policymakers modernize antitrust laws to promote fair competition.
Our greatest asset is the experience of our members and our members' ability and willingness to share that.
I'm Xander Brown.
Some pandemic adjustments are triggering longer-term healthcare changes. Volunteer advanced practice registered nurses known as APRNs do some heavy lifting in rural areas, and there's a push towards fewer restrictions on how they practice.
During this whole pandemic, we have really shown that, yeah, we can provide a great service to patients and to those vulnerable populations that really need us.
Nursing professor Amanda Culp Roach, University of North Carolina, Wilmington, had to stop volunteering at a rural clinic when her first supervising physician retired until she found another, an unnecessary burden, she believes, although the American Medical Association maintains that doctors are needed to oversee the work of APRNs. Not all endangered species are lovable, but the bat has a particularly bad rap now with a potential COVID connection. One bat made the top 10 list of those imperiled by climate change in a report from the Endangered Species Coalition, the Mexican long-nosed bat. Kristen Lear with Bat Conservation International says the rare Texas and New Mexico pollinator is critical for a happy hour favorite, the margarita.
They feed on these gigantic agave plants, which we probably all know of from making tequila and mezcal.
With development reducing the number of agave plants, Lear says people along the bat 700-mile southwest migration also can help.
Many people put up hummingbird feeders, which obviously attract hummingbirds, but also at night attract these nectar-feeding bats.
For the Yonder Report and Public News Service, I'm Roz Brown. For more rural stories, visit dailyyonder.com.
And now here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the weekend. Well, on Saturday, snow is likely, mainly before 1 p.m. It will be cloudy with a temperature high near 18 degrees and wind chill values as low as minus 8 degrees. New snow accumulation of 1 to 2 inches is possible. It will be mostly cloudy Saturday night, then gradually becoming mostly clear with a temperature low of around 5 degrees and wind chill values as low as minus 10 degrees. And on Sunday, mostly sunny with a high near 24 degrees. And Sunday night, mostly cloudy with a temperature low of around 8 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM, radio for open ears in Greene and Columbia counties.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Nora E. Adelman of Athens, New York. Sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about Creative Community Radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You, too, can become a WGXC sustaining supporter by investing in community radio every month. Go to WGXC.org and click Donate. Thank you for your support.
WGXC believes in creative use of the airwaves. WGXC is a program division of the nonprofit arts organization Wave Farm, based in Akron, New York. We are the only station in the country to dedicate significant airtime to radio as an artistic medium. Tune in to Transmission Art and Experimental Sound programming overnight and on Saturdays, and hear artists from all over the world who sculpt and compose with the airwaves.
You are tuned to 90.7 FM, WGXC, hands-on, listener-supported radio for Greene and Columbia counties.
Next, here is a recording from the band Stars Like Fleas from their 2008 album Early Riser. It was recorded live at Wave Farm. See if you can hear the Greene County birds singing along.
Seconds after he was in bed, he fell back to sleep. The next morning, he had forgotten all about what had happened the night before. But when nighttime came once again, his thoughts somehow found their way back to remembering the fascinating episode of the night before.
Thank you.
turned out his bedroom light and sat in his favorite chair. Thoughts danced through his head for a while. Suppose I went to check and see if my transistor is still down there, he said. I wonder what would happen. He sat up in his opened window, down at the path, up his room and flew right out again. Down jumped the prince, and he went again to find his radio. As he made his way, he could hear something once again. There was that transistor up on the same tree. Then, from inside of it came a strange voice.
For some reason or another, you sound a little taller on radio.
Released January 29th, 2021, Yvette Janine Jackson's album Freedom comprises her groundbreaking radio operas Destination Freedom and Invisible People. The album features sleeve notes by acclaimed African-American cultural critic Gregory Tate with cover art by Nate Lewis. Here's the first of the two radio operas, Destination Freedom, which takes the listener inside a cargo hold of a tall ship transporting Africans to the Americas. The work was derived from Jackson's research into the oral histories of those born into slavery and unfolds in three intertwined scenes. The cargo hold of a tall ship transporting Africans to the Americas, a disorienting journey that traverses time, and the arrival into the weightlessness of outer space.
Thank you.
That was British artist Scanner with his song Chimera from the 2021 album Alchemia.
Now to absorb some local color through the magic of AM radio.
The Book of Revelations tells us to watch for the seven signs of evil.
Sign of evil number 4.
Continuing our sign of evil countdown.